Human beings consider the various aspects of time, the past, the present, and the future. The calendar divides itself into days, weeks, months, and years. Seasons come and seasons go. Humanity involves itself in the passage of time, and sometimes it can become a little overwhelming. Nevertheless, let us remember that whatever the occasion or the event, it arrives one day at a time. Let us concern ourselves with what is at hand in the present moment. Each new day stretches before us, awaiting our decisions and our determinations. We understand that it is not so much what we are looking at that matters, but rather it is our response to what we are looking at that counts. In our time of observation, we notice our thoughts and our attitude. We understand that our view of life governs our course of action. And so we reason. If we do not like what we see, the remedy would be a change of attitude, a new way of observation. The newness of the moment allows us to do this, inviting additional insight and perception. Living outside our normal routine, we are free to establish a more favorable pattern of thought. This is a new approach, taking us to a higher degree of awareness. We now turn our attention to the work of thought. We call this mental activity. However, it really is a matter of consciousness. A matter of being aware. We do our thinking in consciousness. Any correction or adjustment takes place in consciousness. We form views and attitudes in consciousness. This is the place of judgment and determination, of clarification and discernment. This is where we live. This is our house, our place of habitation. And so we begin by asking ourselves, what do I have in my house? What is the state of my consciousness? Is it a place of lifted awareness, revealing spiritual reality? Emma Curtis Hopkins calls this upward glancing. This understanding is the house founded upon the rock, which cannot fail or fall. On the other hand, is consciousness a state of human awareness, focused on the troubles and the cares of the world? Emma Curtis Hopkins calls this downward glancing. This understanding is that house built upon the sand. There is nothing to support it, and it will surely fall. Our question now becomes, what we have in our house of consciousness, what is our focus, and to what do we give our attention? Nona Brooks told us we are to build attitudes of faith, courage, love, and joy. When we do this, the riches of life will become apparent. On every hand, we shall discover new beauties and new blessings. She said we may consider life a game, and it is up to us how we play it. She points out the troubles lie not in outer conditions, but in ourselves. We play the game within us by our thoughts and our feelings. Now, the one who whines and complains for a time has lost the game. The one who plays courageously has won, though the score counts against him. Yes, when we play games, we tend to keep score. However, when we play the game of life from our highest sense of spiritual integrity. It is not the score that counts, but rather how we play that matters. We develop true attitudes of thought just as we develop muscles through right exercise. For instance, if we wish to bring faith into our consciousness, we must think on the faith side of life. Back of condition, we must go to the great reality which abides within, in serenity and power. We must keep our thought fixed on the presence until we feel its peace and power. This activity is Emma Curtis Hopkins' method of upward glancing. I repeat Nona Brooks' reminder that we play the game of life in us by our thoughts and our feelings, which is why so many early divine science ministers, practitioners, and teachers had something to say about the work of thought. Mrs. Daisy Baum, an early divine scientist, understood that we direct much of our thought patterns to the periods of time called the past and the future, sometimes forgetting about the present. And that is the only time that we really have. New each day occurs in the present time, not in the past or in the future. Mrs. Baum advises us to take no thought for tomorrow. She then tells us why this is not a good practice. Our thought for tomorrow often keeps the present from yielding the good that it has for us. For when our mental action is disturbed and anxious, we are not able to apply the truth that we know. Now, most of us cross many bridges before we come to them. That is, we waste time and thought over that which may not come at all. We borrow trouble instead of trusting the eternal law of good, which is sufficient for each day as it appears. You know, I think we can all relate to this. Who among us has not wasted time worrying over what we call the what-ifs, placing ourselves into conditions and situations that really only exist as personal thought and speculation? Now, if we must make some provision for the future, let us see to it that the provision holds within it only good, casting off all doubt and distrust, all fear and anxiety. In other words, resolve to trust God. Include God in all that you do. Remember, God is a present help in time of trouble, in a time of decision and determination. Take it to the Lord in prayer and leave it to God's infinite wisdom to guide and direct. Mrs. Baum also tells us that while it is unwise to live in the future, it is also unwise to live in the past. Again, I think that most of us can relate to that activity of calling up the past, concerned over acts of omission or commission. Who among us has not wasted time mentally rewriting the history of our past, longing for different outcomes and solutions? However, in the light of new each day, it is not possible for us to do this. Therefore, let us not weary ourselves over the past, nor be anxious about the future. To live in the attitude of new each day, we consecrate ourselves to the study and application of the truth that we know. We can make an individual effort to be more faithful, more trustful, so that from each new day will arise a better tomorrow. I chose today's title, New Each Day, because each day is the only time that we have. It is there that we form new patterns, new attitudes, and views of life. Today's lesson continues in the present time with the intent to apply the truth that we know now. We adopt the idea that we want to bring truth into expression. We may say that we want to demonstrate truth in our affairs. Now, we may think of that word demonstrate as the practice of truth over error, the use of truth to heal disease, sorrow, or sin. However, spiritually, we know that harmony and wholeness already exist as the one selfhood, and it is unchanging. There really is nothing to fix or correct. What that means is this. We should not think of healing as a removal of something discordant, but as the joyous acceptance of what we know to have ever been our perfect selfhood. Through illumination, we know that perfection is what we are, not what we may attempt to demonstrate. Truth is the manifest, already whole and complete, without beginning or end. To those of inner illumination and understanding, the absolute is the unconditioned. Until this knowledge comes to us, that all is the one being and the one existence now, until this happens, we will need to continue our effort to overcome difficulties as long as we stay in the state of becoming, evolving, and unfolding. We will continue to live as a human being. As human beings, we seek and we pray for the things which are already ours as spiritual beings. However, until we know us in that way, as spiritual beings, we will not live the truth of our selfhood. Spiritual manna falls daily. New each day is what is sufficient for the day. Wholeness is not reached through healing, nor perfection gained by regeneration. Attainment is the opening of one's eyes to see what has always been. Like standing still in our own identity, beholding ourselves as we truly are. Upward glancing and lifted consciousness are attitudes of openness and receptivity. In Mark 5:5, we read, "Blessed are the meek." An attitude of meekness is void of a personality of its own. It accepts the truth that it already possesses all, for already it is one with the whole of life, with the one selfhood of the house of God. The meek, the open-minded, know they possess everything in their own being. To apply this truth that we now know requires a change in thought and attitude, an entirely new view of life, a spiritual one. There is no other way. The Bible is quite clear about this. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, let us notice that word must in the above sentence. To know the truth, we must think a spiritual mind. We must be pure in heart. We must love the one selfhood with no other identity. We must be willing to abandon certain words that apply only to the human concept of life. We must release the attitudes, thoughts, and views, those that speak of a life separate and apart from God, concepts and ideas that are contrary to truth. Remember, words reveal what one believes. The one who worships in spirit and truth speaks only what is true of spirit, what is true of life. How does one do this? Well, what is spirit that we must worship God in spirit? Spirit is unseen, unmanifest, intangible sustenance. Spirit is the essence and the core of us. It is our consciousness, our spiritual awareness of the unmanifest as our complete existence. This really is the reality of all life, existing in the realm of eternal life. Now, that eternal self is not the one of physical form and mental thought, restricted to time and space. Physical and mental attitudes are necessary to live in a world of form and manifestation. However, since this is not the true self, there is nothing to sustain it on into eternity. Remember, when the life force leaves the body returns to its native nothingness. While existing in that physical form, many times we are tempted to claim its identity and accept it as our reality. However, we are interested in truth. Truth reveals the one selfhood, not two. Our human acceptance is not deep enough or high enough to know of that self. Truth is nonsense to human understanding. Humanity thinks and reasons according to opposites, according to duality, up and down, rich and poor, sickness and health. Therefore, this is the experience of the human being. What we accept as true will be so for us. Now, Jesus taught us that while yet in the flesh, while walking this earth plane in that physical form, we may know us as spiritual beings, and furthermore, we can live from that identity. Jesus showed us how. What is required is that we know us as that self and nothing else. Knowing spirit to be all, we can no longer think or talk of a human being or a mortal life. Illusion, shadow, or dream. Remember, the one selfhood is already whole and complete. It cannot be developed, cultivated, or improved. Nor is it in a state of unfolding, becoming, or growing into some other fulfillment. To apply the truth that we know, we may simply be it, and live it. We do not have to create it, nor do we somehow think it into being. In Mark 12:32, we read, "There is one God, and there is none other but He." There is no other existence, no other being except what God made. We are of God. So it's not a matter of God and man, but rather God expressing as man. We are really talking about divine mind. Now, divine mind does not see other minds, other beings, other formations in need of treatment. It sees no illusion or appearance to be dispelled, no God or evil to be impersonalized, no thoughts or pictures to be changed. Divine mind does not know of a mortal mind to make any claim or any error to argue its point. It does not see anything to be lessened or intensified, to fade out, or to be brought to light, to appear to view, or to disappear from it. Divine mind knows none other than itself. To that spiritual mind, all is spirit, all is truth. and all is spiritual formation and spiritual existence. This mind sees its infinite spiritual selfhood to be the one and the all. So to apply truth in our time of daily living, we must know us as the spiritual selfhood, the one, the all. In our desire to apply truth to our time of daily living, many times it will say that God is our source. And in a sense, this is true. However, let us be careful how we bear witness to this truth. We may say that God is the source of our health. In reality, God is health. We may say that God is our source of supply. In truth, God is supply. God is everything. God does not manifest as personal minds or personal beings. God does not build better bodies according to better mental pictures. The one who desires to live the truth of their being receives revelation new each day. The way to spirit and truth is not by purification of mind and thinking, but by purity of heart. Purity requires love of the heart for God, great enough to be ready and willing to give up all belief that one has existence outside the spiritual selfhood. Our thoughts need no watching, controlling, or reversing. To infinite spirit and truth, itself is all it knows, all it sees, and all it feels. We are this spirit and truth. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and bear witness to our divine selfhood. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Each day is God's day. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Turn within, and I will teach you the way in which you should go. Let us not linger over the past or rush ourselves into the future. Today is sufficient unto itself. In the stillness of this moment, time stands still. There are no distractions, nothing to disturb the mind stayed on God. The infinite spirit is a living presence in the heart and in the soul of man. This is the selfhood of eternal life. It has no beginning and no end. Let us not measure ourselves according to date and time, age, or gender. Our spiritual identity declares, beside me, there is none else. Let us choose this day to turn within, acquaint ourselves with Him, and be at peace. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge Him, so that He may lift your consciousness and give you His peace. Amen. Go in peace and have a blessed week.